Welcome to our service this morning. Today I'd like to talk about contentment in a chaotic world. The Holman Bible Dictionary gives a definition of contentment. They say contentment is an internal satisfaction which does not demand changes in external circumstances. Today our world is in chaos in many places, but I believe it's still possible to find contentment in every circumstance if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was one who found contentment in every crisis. In Philippians 4 verse 11 he said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Can you say what Paul said? "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." I read a story about a contented Mexican fisherman. One day, this Mexican fisherman, they had been out fishing, and he brings his little boat and docks it at a pier in a small Mexican village. At that pier, when he docked, was an American banker. Inside the Mexican's boat was several large yellowfin tuna. And let me read you the story about it. The American banker asked, when he saw the fish, he asked the Mexican why he didn't stay out longer and catch more fish. The Mexican said he had enough to support his family's immediate needs. The American banker then said, "But what do you do with the rest of your time?" The Mexican fisherman said, "I sleep late, fish a little, play with my children, take siestas with my wife, Maria, stroll into the village each evening where I play guitar with my amigos. I have a full and busy life," he said. Well, the American banker scoffed and he said, "I'm a Harvard MBA and could help you. You should spend more time fishing, and with the proceeds, buy a bigger boat. With the proceeds from the bigger boat, you could buy several boats. Eventually, you could have a fleet of fishing boats. Instead of selling your catch to a middleman, you would sell directly to the processor, eventually opening your own cannery. You could control the product, processing and distribution. You would need to leave this small coastal fishing village and move to Mexico City, then LA, and eventually New York City, where you would run your expanding enterprise." Well, the Mexican fisherman said, "But how long will this all take?" And the American banker said, 15 to 20 years. "But what then?" asked the Mexican. Oh, the American laughed and said, "That's the best part. When the time is right, you would announce an IPO and sell your company stock to the public and become very rich. You would make millions." "Millions? Then what?" said the Mexican. The American banker said, "Then you would retire, move to a small coastal fishing village where you would sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take siestas with your wife, stroll to the village in the evenings." The Mexican fisherman already had contentment, and he didn't have to work 15 to 20 years to find it. You know, there's a delight in being content. A preacher once said, "A discontented man is never rich, and a contented man is always rich." When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." We live in a society now that continually fosters discontentment. The constant message that is beamed through your TV is that you need to have more and more in order to be happy. The TV promotes dissatisfaction with what you have. Think of the variety of gambling ads that are seen on TV every day. The gambling ads here in Australia portray that you'll have happiness and real fun with your mates if you would just come together and gamble on your mobile phones. What a load of rubbish. They don't tell you in those ads about the losses, They don't tell you in those ads about the addiction. They don't tell you in the ads that you've got to be careful with your money and guard your money and spend your money wisely. No, they don't tell you all that. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10 says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver." When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." The commercials and TV shows tell you that you need to have a better car to be happy, or you need a better house to be happy, or you even need a better body, you know, plastic surgery in order to be happy, or you need a better investment to have happiness and contentment. In Luke 12, Jesus gives a picture of a discontented farmer without God. The farmer had a very fruitful farm, but he was not content. He just wanted more and more. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 18, speaking about the farmer, Jesus said this. The farmer said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods." And God called the rich farmer a fool. He laid up riches for himself, but was not rich towards God. So how do you discover contentment? Well, true contentment, I believe, is discovered when a person has a relationship with the Lord. That's where true contentment begins. David in Psalm 23 said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I heard about a little girl that misquoted Psalm 23, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, he's all I want." Well, that little girl, though she misquoted the psalm, had a great truth. God himself brings contentment to our lives when we know him and walk with him. True contentment on this earth first begins by having a relationship with the God that made us. A relationship with the God that made us begins when we understand that Jesus Christ is our Creator and that he went to the cross as our Saviour, dying on that cross for all our sins and rising again on the third day. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, he said, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." When you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Saviour, then the road to real contentment begins. Contentment is not self-satisfaction. Contentment really begins with God's satisfaction and knowing Jesus as your Saviour. You know, before Paul became a Christian, he was self-satisfied in many ways. Just read Philippians chapter 3. He was an Israelite. He'd been well-educated. He had quite a dossier there in Philippians chapter 3. And Paul's contentment prior to coming to know Jesus as Saviour, a lot of his contentment was based in himself and what he had achieved. But when you study the life of the Apostle Paul, God intervened in his life. And he realised that contentment was not in self-satisfaction, but contentment was found in Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 verse 7, Paul said, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Did you know that Paul's road to contentment really began on the road to Damascus? The Lord spoke to Saul, who we know as Paul, on the road to Damascus, and Paul asked the Lord two questions. Acts 9 verse 5, "Who are you, Lord?" Second question he asked, Acts 9 verse 6, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" That's the two most important questions anyone can ask. Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? Paul discovered when he asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord said to him, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Jesus means Saviour. On the road to Damascus, the Saviour confronted the Apostle Paul. And that was the day that Paul began a journey of contentment. He discovered who Jesus was, and he also discovered shortly after what he was to do in his life, which would bring great contentment, even though when he became a Christian, things were very tough. In Acts 9 verse 15, the Lord gave Ananias a job description of exactly what Paul was to do. Acts 9 verse 15, he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel. That's his job description. So he discovered who Jesus was. He also discovered what he was to do for the rest of his life. He was to be a witness. And when a person becomes a Christian, they discover who Jesus is, and secondly, they can discover what the will of Jesus is for their life. And part of the Lord's will for our lives is to take the gospel to others, just like the Apostle Paul did. We are chosen vessels. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you are a chosen vessel to bear his name. Acts 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There is a job description there for local evangelism, national evangelism, and international evangelism. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you are a chosen vessel to bring the gospel to your neighbourhood, to your city, to your state, to your country. And you are to have a part also in worldwide evangelism, and that might be by supporting missionaries that are overseas. The Apostle Paul was one who learned contentment in every circumstance. And I believe contentment has to be learned. And we'll be learning about contentment all the days of our lives. We'll learn how to be content in the various situations that God allows to come into our lives. In Philippians 4 verse 11, Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now when Paul writes his letter to the Philippians, he is a prisoner of Rome. Paul has lost his freedom, possibly he's chained to a Roman soldier, and he can't get out and visit the churches anymore. F.B. Meyer wrote this about Paul, deprived of every comfort and cast as a lonely man on the shores of that great strange metropolis, he's talking about Rome there, with every movement of his hand clanking a fetter and nothing before him but the lion's mouth or the sword. He's talking about the possibility of Paul's execution there. In these terrible circumstances, Paul as a prisoner is thankful, and Paul even rejoices that Paul is a contented man. Paul's sufficiency was not in what he had or in what he did not have. His sufficiency was in Jesus Christ. Paul's life was not easy. He lived out his life in a chaotic world. You can read about the chaos that confronted Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. Read that passage and you'll find that in Paul's life he was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was travelling often, he was in dangers of robbers, he was in dangers in the sea, in dangers in the wilderness, he was in and out of prisons, he faced false teachers, he was weary and tired often, he lost sleep often, he had times of hunger and times of thirst, and also he had the burden of all the churches, yet the Apostle Paul was content. Paul was content in knowing that God was in control of everything that happened to him. Philippians 4 verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everything and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. Now you might remember that Paul originally ended up in Philippi when he got his Macedonian call. Acts 16, verse 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" So he gets this vision of this Macedonian man wanting help. And Paul takes that vision as God's will to go to Macedonia, where he enters the city of Philippi. And when he goes over there, this is the first time that the gospel comes to Europe. Now, you might remember a number of things happened to him. He met a number of people in Philippi there when he arrived. He met Lydia. He met a demon-possessed girl. And through circumstances, the Apostle Paul and Silas end up in prison in Philippi. And you find that in Acts chapter 16. And you remember that in prison, Paul and Silas had been beaten, and yet they sang songs of praise at midnight at Philippi. Here he is in a jail cell, in stocks, in the inner part of the prison, and he's singing songs of praise. When I was a minister at Gunnedah, I ended up in the jailhouse. And it's not pleasant behind bars and perspex. I sat on a cold aluminium bench. I could look out from the cell and I could see where the policeman was there. He was, I guess, there on guard. Not a pleasant place to be in that cell. I guess I should tell you why I was in the cell. I was in the cell because a policeman had contacted me because there was a prisoner that was very upset. And I was called to go and comfort the prisoner. And so I sat in the cell with the prisoner on that day. Now, as cold as that aluminium bench was, and as unpleasant as it was to be in the cell, I'm sure Australian jails are much more comfortable than what the Apostle Paul had in his day. And yet Paul and Silas in that inner prison are able to sing praises to the Lord at midnight. The jailhouse became a joy house because the Apostle Paul knew Jesus Christ as his Saviour, and the Apostle Paul and Silas were content in every situation that they faced. You remember in Acts 16 there was that great earthquake, the prison doors were opened, and the Philippian jailer wants to be saved. He asks that question in Acts chapter 16, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. You know, salvation is very simple. Salvation is understanding that Christ went to the cross for all your sins. When he died on Calvary, he was paying the price for your sin and my sin and the sins of the entire world. He shed his blood as a redemption price. And all we have to do to be saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe in his atoning death for your sins and his resurrection from the grave, and you can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And you know what happened? They went and they spoke to the Philippian jailer's household, and people were converted in that house and they were baptized. At midnight there, the Apostle Paul and Silas, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the prison, they were content. And the jailhouse became a joy house because they could sing praises to the Lord that they trusted. Paul could be content in every circumstance because he had a living faith in a living God whom he could always trust. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, said, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." In Philippians 4, verse 12, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul not only trusted Christ, but Paul was empowered by Christ in the good times and in the bad times. Paul could cope because it was Christ that strengthened him. One writer said, referring to Philippians 4 verse 13, when Paul said that he could do all things, he meant all things which were God's will for him to do. He had learned that the Lord's commands are always the Lord's enablements. Where the finger of God points, the hand of God provides the way. Ray Pritchard said this, through Jesus Christ you can do everything God wants you to do this year. You can face everything that he wants you to face. You can fight every battle he wants you to fight. You can obey every command. You can endure every trial. And you can overcome every temptation through Jesus Christ. J. Vernon McGee states in relation to Philippians 4 verse 13, whatever Christ has for you to do, he will supply the power. Whatever gift he gives you, he will give the power to exercise that gift. A gift is a manifestation of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. As long as you function in Christ, you will have power. You see, I can't do all things, but I can do all things which God has for me to do, from the time he saved me to the time he will take me out of this world. When the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he's speaking about the fact that as he is in the will of God, he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Today there's a name it and claim it theology. Oh, if you just name it, if you just claim it, if you claim it and ask Jesus, you can do anything. There's a false theology going around today. I can never compete in Australia, I can never compete for Australia in basketball. I haven't got the ability, I haven't got the height. And even though I'm a Christian and even though I trust Jesus as Saviour, I can't do all things if it's not in the will of God. I can't be an opera singer. I haven't got the voice for being an opera singer. I can do all things as I seek to do the will of God. And in the will of God, when I'm in the will of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things that he would have me to do. In every circumstance that confronted Paul, whether it was good or bad, Paul could cope because Christ was the one that would strengthen him. And Paul's contentment was independent of his circumstances because Paul had internal power and Paul had an external perspective, and so must we. Paul displayed an external witness also of the power of Christ in his life as he sought to serve the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul had contentment in a chaotic world. A biblical contentment is an internal satisfaction which does not demand changes in external circumstances. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Does your life as a Christian testify to others of a supernatural contentment in all the circumstances of life? A discontented man is never rich, and a contented man is always rich. Paul began the long journey of learning contentment from the day he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, let me just sum up these few verses and what we've learnt today. This is where the rubber hits the road. When you're in the will of God and your workplace is very difficult, you need to believe and you need to say, I have learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When your marriage is hard and you want to give up, I have learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you face the bullies at school and you're afraid of them, I have learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But when you're afraid to fly and you're called to be an overseas missionary, I have learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When looking after kids is not your thing and you're asked by your church to be a Sunday school teacher, I have learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you're an introvert and you're called by God to preach, I have learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When that pain never goes away from your body and you just want to die, I have learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you're tired and you can't go on any further, I've learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you've worked so hard for the company and you get the sack, I've learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When that broken relationship is breaking your heart, I've learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you've lost your friends and they don't want to know you anymore, I've learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the love of your life dies, I have learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you stand for Jesus and they can't stand you anymore, I've learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When they unjustly take away your freedom, I have learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When your life is at risk because you love Jesus, I have learned to be content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:16 said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, Paul said, "For we know that if our earthly house, if this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Paul had contentment in a chaotic world. Biblical contentment is an internal satisfaction which does not demand changes in external circumstances. Father, we thank you that Paul shows us how to live a life of contentment in this chaotic world. Lord, help us to be reminded today that we who are believers are earthen vessels who contain within us the Almighty God. Thank you that it is you alone who gives us supernatural power and strength. Lord, when circumstances would crush us, would you show the life of Jesus within us? Lord, may we learn to be vessels of honour, showing true contentment in a chaotic world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.